Take your Bibles now and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and I'll read 1 through 10. Necessity of a changed heart. Of course, in my Bible, in the caption here, it says, put on a new self. Walking with the Lord. Follow along with me. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I love verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Amen?
Amen.
I love that verse, because it tells us where we're going to be one of these days and who we're going to be spending our life with, and giving Him all what He does in our life. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of the disobedience. And in them you will also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put all aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. What Paul was saying, this doesn't resemble a Christian at all. So he said, all that should be behind us. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, who created you. Now, when we think about our thoughts and the things that can enter in our mind, you notice what the Apostle Paul said here in verse 1. Since we've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Then he says in verse 2, set your mind on the things above. Set your things on the things above. See, it is so easily sometimes to get distracted that we do not set our mind on the things above, the things of God, the things that we know, the things that we have been taught from a childhood, that we ought to set our mind. You know, it's one thing to have the knowledge. It's one thing to have knowledge. And it's one thing to believe in the Word of God. But until it is here in the heart, it's useless. It's useless, isn't it? If the things that we know of God, the things that we know that we have been forgiven, you know, we've been forgiven our past sins. God has forgiven us past, present, future. But it doesn't give us the freedom to go on in sinning. And you know, Paul mentioned a very, very list of different things that does not resemble a Christian at all. And you know, some of these things that he mentioned might have been some of the things that all of us might have practiced in our past life, in our old nature, before we got saved. And those are not the things to be carried over into our new life, the changed life. If they are, if they, if any of these that were mentioned here has been carried over, and they are part or kind of slide in or sneak in sometimes, then something is not right between us and our relationship with Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we lost our salvation, but it does mean that we don't have our hearts or our minds set on the things above. Because we're living in a day and time now that the world has no biblical principles, and they're not practicing. If they do, they're not practicing them, are they? So we as Christians, you know, it's important that we understand that whatever God has placed there for us, it's for us, our protection. It's for us to know and learn that if we want to follow in the paths of righteousness, that we must be willing to set our minds on the things above. It's kind of like this professor visiting Southwestern Seminary out in Fort Worth, Texas. And he spoke, this particular professor spoke at this church. He was invited to come in and preach at this church. He was kind of a laid-back type professor and everything, but in this particular message, he really wanted to put forth the meaning of where a person's heart is. So he was driving the point home, and he said, all of us, all of you need to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Turn away from our old self and take on the new creation that God will place within our hearts when we receive Jesus Christ. Then he said, Buster, you need to come forward now and repent of your sins here at the altar and ask God for forgiveness. As they begin the invitation, this professor joined the pastor at the front at the altar. As the congregation began to sing the invitation, here come a young man down the aisle, and he said, my name is Buster, and I'm ready to repent of my sin and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. See, it spoke to that young man. His name was Buster, but the professor was speaking to the whole congregation. He just happened to use that term, Buster, for some reason. And it spoke to this young man who was Buster, and he said, I want that changed heart. Now, when we look at what the scripture tells us and gives us a principle guideline of instructions here, see, the Bible is full of truth about the importance of controlling your mind. It's hard to get a handle on the mind sometimes, isn't it? Especially when there's so many variations of truths. And if we're in the Word, we are able to discern what truth and what is error, what is right, what is wrong. And sometimes we don't do that, do we? If we're in the right crowd or the right situation, sometimes I say the right place, but the wrong place, we can be influenced. And then our mind gets to rolling. And then before we actually think about from our heart, we speak with our mouth the things we should not be speaking, or saying what we should not be speaking, especially as Christians. And you see, when we do that, it tells us that our mind is not set on the things above. You see, God wants our minds, He wants our hearts bent towards Him every moment. You see, if we're not directed, if our minds are not set on Christ, then it's on something else. And the world is going to rob you of the joy and the blessings if you are not set, if your mind, if your heart is not set on the things above. You see, the Bible says that where our heart is, that's where our treasures are going to be. So if it's in on the things of earth, you see, it's robbing us of the blessings that God wants us to have, simply because we're not focused on the things above. Now, how can we, our transformation into creatures affect our thought lives? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit, see, enables us to walk out the Christian life. Now, Paul says that we died to the old nature and were raised. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says to walk the newness of life. I was thinking about, as I was thinking about this message, just recently, I was walking out to my across my yard, going back to the barn, check on my chickens, and in front of me was a caterpillar, was crawling. Well, I picked it up, and I brought it back to the house, and I put it in a little container to see what kind of transformation this little caterpillar, what would happen. And as we know, caterpillars, you know, they can turn into something beautiful, can't they? See, they crawl for a period of time until they decide that they want to kind of make a cocoon or something. And at some point in time, it looks like they're dead, doesn't it? There's no life. But then just in a little while, they bust through that cocoon, and guess what? Into a beautiful butterfly that flies upward. You see, isn't that our life? You know, we crawl, we struggle in life, and sometimes we get bogged down with everything in our life. It can be sins, it can be some of these things that Paul mentioned here. And it's like we are not alive spiritually. But Paul says on the other side, in comparison, we are dead to the world. That means our sins have been forgiven. So that's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if we be in Christ. See, like the caterpillar turns into a beautiful butterfly, there's a metamorphosis. There's a huge change. Something beautiful. You see, when God created man and woman, he placed them in the Garden of Eden. He said, this is beautiful. His whole creation was beautiful. And then when Christ Jesus comes into our heart and saves us from our sins, it turns us into something beautiful. Our lives are beautiful before the Lord. And as we live out our life, and as we, you know, fly like a butterfly in our spiritual life, and as we begin to continue to grow spiritually, you see, God is able to take us where we are and use us for his honor and glory and teach us to be just like Jesus. And I want to remind you, I want to remind you this morning of what Paul is saying here, is that too many times we reflect back or we look back, and those things that we've been forgiven of kind of creeps back into our life, and we start practicing them again. And when we do that, again, I say, we're not focusing upon the things above. If you're walking with the Lord, if you're trying to do what you know he would have you to do on a daily basis, being in the Word and then praying, then your mind is set on the things above. But sometimes if you get in groups or you get in a situation where the speech or language is not conducive to having your mind set upon the Word of God, then you're going to enter into something that you can be distracted, or you can enter into a situation where that you start condoning what is taking place. And therefore, it is dangerous. It is destructive to your life. And Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. And for the Christian life, as we look at what Jesus is saying here, And in comparison, as the revelation of God had been given Paul, then we need to allow whatever enters our mind to be set on our heart, to change our hearts, so that we will always be following the will of God. Now, if you want to be happy, even in difficult times, you must think rightly and act rightly. So, string your thoughts. Let the Word of God be the grid system of your life. Reject thoughts that aren't compatible, with the Bible. And then ask yourself these questions. What is the source? What caused me to think this way? What causes me to act the way I am? Even though I'm a Christian, what causes me to have these thoughts, these temptations, and so forth? Analyze them in your mind. Where will it lead me if I continue in this thought pattern? Where will it lead me? Is this scriptural sound? Is this thought going to build me up or tear me down? Can I share this thought with someone else? Does this thought make me feel guilty? Does this fit who I am as a follower of Jesus? Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So when we think about what Paul is saying here, and when I think about all of what Paul has mentioned of the sins that can creep into our lives, then I would say we need to cultivate, nurture godly thoughts. See, the point I want everyone to grasp is that we need to move beyond head knowledge and let Christ reach our hearts. See, I'm convinced that there are many in the church today, and I'm saying churches too as well, that are deceived. There are many that are deceived into thinking that if they believe the right thing, then that makes them okay with God. It's not necessarily true, is it? So understand this. What we believe does matter. But if it never reaches our hearts, then again, I say it's useless. See, Paul, he did tell Timothy to watch his life and doctrine closely, for in doing so, it will save both yourself and others. So, we are to guard what God has entrusted in our life. See, He has entrusted us with a great salvation. And it was provided for Jesus Christ on the cross. Myself and the deacons just came off of the retreat. And what a wonderful experience that was. It helps us to understand where we are spiritually. Not only as spiritual leaders, but in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, that is the most important thing after our conversion that we can do in life, is make sure that we are growing spiritually, that we are nurturing the instruction that is being given to us through God's Word. And if we're not nurturing that, the sacred instructions, then again I say, we don't have our minds and our hearts set on the things above. You see, God loves us so much. You think about if you or me were the only one person on this earth, Christ loved us that much that He died for us. How much more should we want to serve Him and dedicate and commit our life wholly and sacredly to Him. It's an important decision that each and every one of us have to make. And if we truly want to seek the things above, then we're going to make sure that it doesn't matter who approaches us, what situation, or the what's going on within the world today. Our heart is set on the things above. No distractions. Anything within this world is going to hinder our relationship. It's like saying, I don't want to do anything to displease my Heavenly Father. If we would only think about that, about letting our guards down, or letting Satan get his foot in the door. Guard against that with your life, with the salvation that God has placed in your heart and in your life. If you're willing to guard that, like Paul told Timothy, guard it, safeguard it. It has been given you. It has been entrusted to you. It's a gift. And anything that we are given by anybody, we're proud of it. We're going to guard it. If it's something we dearly love or need, we're going to protect it. What much more that we need to do with the salvation that God has entrusted in our life? It's like last Sunday I shared, when the man drove up in the limousine, he rolled down his window and asked the man if he wanted to be the vice president of his company. And we would think he would never do that. But Christ did that with us when he offered us salvation. He entrusted us with something so important that it has eternal benefits. Free. Christ died. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So if we could just measure that with our heart and mind, we could understand that God's love is so great that nothing can destroy or take it away from the Christian, from the believer of Jesus Christ. And when we have our mind set upon the things above, you see, God knows where your heart is. And everyone that you meet will know exactly where your heart is. And they'll know when they approach you, they're going to be on their best behavior, right? They will. Because they know where you stand. They know what you believe. And they know that you're going to be a witness to them. See, God's looking for witnesses. He's looking for people who will take a stand. And of all times within this world today, we need to take a stand as Christians, as believers. If every one of us would take a stand on the issues of the things that are trying to destroy our nation, and Satan is right behind it, isn't he? He's behind every bit of it. And if we'll be reminded that, you know what, we've already won the victories. We may lose a few battles, but God's going to win the war against evil. Evil is here in our world today. It's in our community today. So we need to discern good and evil and keep our minds set on the Word of God. And in our Christian daily life, we need to be a witness to the Lord. We need to be an inspiration to everybody around us in order that they know where we stand with the Lord. If we're not, then all doubt is erased, isn't it, in our Christian witness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning again for this time together, for the baby dedication this morning, for this time, this message. Lord, we just pray that everything that we read, everything that we study, everything that we hear about you will help us to guard the instructions you give us through your word. Help us to guard our testimony, our witness, to not let our guard down at any point of time that Satan can get his foot in the door of our life that will hinder our relationship with you. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you personally, I pray that through this message, through this time together with you, through this time of worship, that your Holy Spirit, I know, has already been working. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of serving. We thank you that you have given us a responsibility to proclaim your word to those that are in our community, those around us that are lost. May we always be willing to give an account of the opportunities that you give us to share a word about Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's someone here looking for a church home, Lord, we just pray that you will lead them where they need to be. Lord, whatever the decisions may be this day, may we be faithful and obedient to step out and make a decision for you. We praise you. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.